Let's pray. Lord, we do just ask tonight, God, that as we open your word, that, Lord, we would hear from you. And we thank you, God, that we have the opportunity to gather together, to come corporately with one another to study and learn. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to teach us. And God, I thank you that, Lord, it doesn't matter where we're at in our walk with you, whether we're just beginning or whether we've been walking with you for a long time, or Lord, in our life, whether we're going through struggles or God, we're just full of joy. I know that, Lord, your heart's desire is to speak to us. And your heart's desire is to change us and Lord, to get us through situations that we might think are impossible, or, Lord, to just encourage us when we're feeling great, God. So I pray that, Lord, as we look at Jeremiah and, Lord, his life, and especially here in the beginning, what he's going through, that, God, it would just minister to us. I pray it would give us strength in the time of our weakness and encouragement in the time of our doubt and our being afraid. So bless this time, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, it's been a while since we've been in 1st and 2nd Kings and Chronicles. But if you remember when we left off, where Josiah was where he had just died. He's got some sons taken over. And so I'm trying to fit Jeremiah, kind of squeezing him in here. Then we'll go back to Kings a little bit because he also ministered during some of the last three kings. But I wanted to kind of get started. So Josiah's in right now, I think, as we're looking at this, Josiah's still around. He's ministering. And remember the other prophets we've looked at. They all spoke about impending doom coming to Judah because of what Judah was doing. And so Jeremiah comes on the scene, and, you know, I look at his life, and I got to be really serious, man. I don't envy this guy. But then there are times when I look at him and think, man, he had this intimate, close relationship with the Lord. And I believe that will often cost us. If you want to be close and intimate with the Lord, things are going to come against you in your life. Number one, the enemy, but then other relationships you're going to find are difficult. So Jeremiah is kind of dealing with all of that. So let's pick it up. Let's kind of, and we'll do a little bit background as we're looking at him. Verse 1 says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, the king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign." So he starts out in Josiah's 13th year, and, you know, so that would make Josiah, what, 21, right? He started when he was 8, 13th year. And so a lot of people speculate that Jeremiah's that age, or maybe just a little bit older. And so as we're looking at this, here's the interesting thing to me. His dad is Hilkiah the priest. Now you remember when Josiah started his reformation and he's changing things? Remember there was a priest who found the book of the law. Remember what his name was? Hilkiah. Now I'm not sure. I kind of tend to agree with those. I don't think it was Jeremiah's dad. Could have been, but I'm not sure. You know, I don't know how popular that name was. But here's the interesting thing is he was born into a priestly family. So let's think about this. That would be the direction he's going, right? If you're born into the priestly family, not today, but back then, you're going to be a priest. You're going to serve that way. Would you rather be a priest or a prophet? God is calling him out of that line, that direction he's going as a priest, into being a prophet. Now, a priest in that day was a lot like a butcher today, right? I mean, they did a lot of the sacrifices and stuff. So that part wouldn't have been fun. But the good thing is, you didn't have to deal with a lot of people, right? You're kind of ministering to the Lord. You were a representative of the people to the Lord, not a representative of the Lord to the people. The prophet was a representative of the Lord to the people. So a whole different direction. And here's my mind. I'm thinking Jeremiah's like cruising along, going along, thinking this is the direction. He's kind of making plans and looking at life. And then the Lord shows up one day and goes, "Nope, you're not going in that direction, bro. I'm going to like..." and have you go in this direction. That's pretty crazy. Just that, thinking about it. And then the fact that he's coming in the 13th year. So some people speculate he was born during the reign of Manasseh. And I don't know why they make a big deal, because he couldn't have been over two or three by the time Manasseh died. And then it was Ammon and all of that. And people make a big deal how that might have influenced him. I don't think so. I think he would have been too young. If he's even in his mid-20s, that means that Josiah started when he was 8, so you know that doesn't give him a lot of time. 7, 8, 9, 10. So I don't think that's the big deal. But the big deal is he starts out with his ministry in the reign of Josiah. Josiah was a good king. You guys remember that from our study in Kings and Chronicles? Josiah's a good guy. He's one of the great guys and going in that direction. Then it tells us in verse 3, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captives, of the Jerusalem captives in the 5th month. So here's what he's saying. He prophesied during the whole time from Josiah's 13th year until they were carried away. That was Jeremiah's ministry. So we're going to back up some, not tonight, but we'll back up and look at what happened with... they mentioned two kings. There's actually four kings, but two of them ruled in such a short time. Each of them had about a three-month ruling, and so they don't really matter. So he's given us the headlines, and listen, these last two kings, they were horrible. They were basically puppets of either Egypt or Babylon. And so think about Jeremiah. I think Jeremiah had a ministry during the darkest time of Israel. I think he started maybe during a light, but here's what you and I need to remember. Even though it all started under Josiah, and we saw that tremendous change and reformation during Josiah's reign, here's what didn't happen in Josiah's reign: revival. Hearts weren't changed. Listen, you can change and change morals, but spiritually, hearts have to change. It's not just about morals. So we see that going, and we see that hearts really weren't changed, because they went right back into idolatry as soon as Josiah's not around. They just go right into it. So the big thing is, I think he ministered during a dark, dark, difficult time. I think Jeremiah's time of ministry was, in my opinion, probably the worst time to minister in Judah. Isaiah, things were going good. When Isaiah ministered, things were going good. And Isaiah had a lot of difficult things to say, but things are going good. Now God pulls this guy out, and he's going to minister during a tough, tough time. And God is going to promise him, listen carefully, not success. God's going to promise to be with him no matter what. And you know, you and I need to realize that God calls us and puts us in places, and he doesn't always promise great success. He doesn't always, you know, promise an easy road. But what he does promise is to go there with us. So let's look at his calling. So that kind of is the background, and it's about 639 B.C. when he starts his ministry. And then verse 4 kind of gives us when he got called. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Now, that last part kind of spooks me. Did you notice a prophet to who? The nations. Not to Israel, not to Judah. Here's what he's saying. I'm making you a prophet to the world. Thanks, Lord. And so God lays things out. Now, I know a lot of us are probably familiar with this. This is one of the areas of Scripture that you can definitely use as a text against abortion, you know, because God lets us know in this text that way before anything that, you know, number one, God knows us, but number two, God forms us. It's not, you know, we don't become a living being outside of the womb. We become a living being at the moment of conception. And again, here's what I love about this. So God tells Jeremiah four things that I think are true of all of us. these four things. And I think there are things to pay attention to. One is that he forms us in the womb. God puts us together. Yes, there's the physical and stuff that goes on, but it's God who makes the individual. And isn't it great that he makes us all different? God puts us together, and he puts us together obviously with different physical traits, but also different, you know, mental traits and everything, and gives us different gifts. And I believe, listen, I believe for every single person, God has putting them together, gifting them, and some people find it, some people don't, but he gives us these gifts. And he has a plan for us. I look back on my life and some of the things that I did, some of the crazy things I did that are none of your business, that God, you know, I look at them and I should have died. I should have died at that point. And I look and God didn't let me die. And I know that God had his hand on my life way before I knew him. But the fact, here's what we need to kind of go away from this. God formed us. He's the one who made us the way we are. And I think we should embrace that and understand he made us just, and you know what? Here's what I like to think about me. And he made me the best me I could be. There's nobody who could be me better than me. And you kind of need to get a hold of that and understand that. And that's how he made us. And some of us are quirky. Some of us are nerds, we found out, right? Before we came out to pray, the worship team knows what I'm talking about. And some of us are more artsy, and some of us are different things. But listen, that's how he formed us. And that's great. And then, listen, not only that, I think the next thing is cool. Not only did he form us in the womb, but he knows that. I knew you. I love. Do you understand that God knew you before you were you? Isn't that cool to think about? Listen, and that word that's used there is the word that talks about intimate, close knowledge. It's a word that they would talk about, you know, the man knowing a woman. God says, I know you intimately. I know you inside and out. And I think, listen, I think again, man, he knows what he's going to do, and all we have to do is yield to that. So I knew you, and again, you know what? Go home tonight, and before you, like when you're getting ready to go to bed, and you're brushing your teeth, and you're looking in the mirror and stuff, I want you to say, God knew me. He knew me. And then, listen, and then he says, and before you were born, I sanctified you. I set you apart, not sanctified in the sense a lot of times we read that and we think God made him holy. Sanctified means I set you apart. Before you were born, man, I made a decision for you. Before you did anything, Jeremiah, I already had a plan for you. Have you ever sat and thought about that in your life? That before you were ever even born, God had a plan. I love when I think about how, you know, how sometimes in the Bible God changes names, like he changed Peter's name and does everything. And I think he's doing that because he's saying, I know what you could be. I'm not looking at what you are now. I know what you could be. And listen, and I'm going to set you apart for that. And then the last thing is, and I ordained you. Now here's what so God said, this is it, man. I'm the one who chose you. I'm the one who called you. Nobody else. When we begin to understand that it's God who called us into the place where we're serving him, you become very powerful no matter what that ministry is. So going away from this, I want us to, first of all, draw from this, who did everything here? God. I did this. And God's speaking to him. Now, one person said it this way, if you try and explain election and God's election, you kind of lose your mind. If you've studied, if you've been saved for any time at all, you try and look at it, you try and understand it, and you try and understand man's responsibility, you try and figure all that out, and you will lose your mind if you try and make it, and here's what I'm thinking, if you try and make it logical, if you try and make it theological, listen, it's a God thing, and God's not always theologically proper. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I'm thinking of some of our theology, and God's not always logic. So if you try and do it, you will lose your mind. But this person said, try and explain it, you lose your mind. But if you explain it away, you lose your soul. And so you just live with it, right? And here's what I love, man. I love this verse. I look at this verse for myself all the time. I know that God, I know that he formed me. I know that he knew me. I know that he set me apart. And I know that he called me. He ordained me. And that's all I need to know to do the ministry he's called me to do. So he tells now, get this, Jeremiah's like hanging out. I picture it this way. Like Jeremiah got up that day. He's kind of hanging out. Not a lot to do. Thinking about the future. Thinking about what he's going to do. Probably, you know, maybe he has a girlfriend. I don't know. And stuff going on. And he's like, I'm going to go into the priesthood and stuff. And then God says, hey, Jeremiah. And God just starts sharing this. Hey, before you were formed, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you to the nations. Okay. Think about if God spoke that to your heart when you first kind of knew him or as a young person, man. You go, okay, so what does that mean? Here's what I love. Jeremiah said, look at verse 6. Jeremiah said, oh no, right? I mean, God says, listen, I made you a prophet to the nations. I don't really, this whole prophet thing, I'm not like really digging that, right? I'm like, I just want to be a priest. All I want to do is what my whole family think. I don't want to get out of my comfort zone, especially. So he says, listen, then he said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Now, here's what I love, man. He kind of throws, this is the Moses card, right? Isn't that what Moses said? Oh, Lord, I'm not eloquent of speech, and I really can't do what you call me to. I know you really want me to do it, but sorry. The prophet thing, not my gig, right? And some of us do that with the Lord. Listen, I talk about this all the time. We tell the Lord we want to know what his plan is for us. We want to know what he wants us to do. But if we're really honest, we don't want to know. We want to approve. We want to get the information and then tell him whether we approve of it or not, right? And we kind of, if it's not going to interfere with my life, it's not going to mess things up too much, I'll go ahead and do it. And that's the wrong attitude. So here's what Jeremiah's saying. I don't really like this card. And, you know, I can't really talk, you know, I can't speak. And he goes, I'm just a young guy. I'm just a young person. And, you know, that's kind of a lame thing to throw out there, right? Now, some people say he was like 13. I don't think so. I think he was in his 20s. And he goes, listen, he said, here's what bottom line he's saying, is God, I don't really want to do this. It's interesting when God called certain people, how they would bring up, you know, quote, their mouth or something, you know, Isaiah said, man, these lips, you don't want these lips speaking for you because they're kind of foul, and God took care of his lips, right? Moses says, I can't talk. I'm not able to do that. And now Jeremiah kind of throwing it out. Now, here's one thing I think we should take away from that. You know, the people I believe that God uses to the greatest degree are the people who think they're the least qualified to be used by God, the humble. Those who think, I remember in Bible college, there was a student that was there when I was there, a younger guy, and man, this guy had it together. And this guy was a phenomenal, phenomenal speaker and Bible teacher, young kid. The problem is, he knew it. And he was sure of it. Last I heard, I don't even know if he was walking with the Lord. Listen, God will use those who are humble. It's okay to say, Lord, I really don't think I'm qualified. Because here's what I think. I don't think God's looking necessarily for, quote, qualified people, right? I think God is looking for available people, those who are there to, you know, to serve him. So then the Lord, he says, Lord, I can't do this. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. Listen, he says, here's what God says. That is like the lamest excuse ever, right? Don't be saying that. Now, here's an interesting thing. Listen to this quote, and as we go through, as we go through Hosea, I don't know where that came from. As we go through Jeremiah, I want you to think about these things. Listen to what he says, and he talks about us, but then he takes it to Jeremiah. This is one of the commentators I read. He says, but once you know what God has called you to do, trust him to equip you to do it. You may not be able to speak, but God can give you the ability to speak, right? And then, listen to what he says. God equipped Jeremiah to be an international prophet in some amazing ways. He was a great scholar. He was a man of enormous learning. He was able to converse in the fields of politics, economics, comparative religion, geography, theology, botany, zoology, anthropology, military strategy, architecture, industry, agriculture, and fine arts and poetry. Now listen, as we go through Jeremiah, kind of keep that list in your head. All of that, this is the guy who said, I'm too young. And here's what God is letting him know. All you need is me. You don't listen. And I'm not saying we don't need an education, but you got to trust in the Lord. So listen, I really love the idea that he's doing this and making himself available to this. So here's what the Lord says. He says, listen, don't use that lame excuse in verse 7. Don't say that I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. And wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Now, I kind of like most of this. The part I don't like is God saying, I'm going to be there to deliver you. What does that imply? That implies you're going to need delivering, right? That implies that ministry is going to get really hard and really tough because God's saying, hey, It's okay, Jeremiah. I'll be there to deliver you out of those situations. I don't want to go in those situations, right? I don't want to be part of that. So again, man, here's what the Lord says. I'm there for you. All you have to do is trust me. So again, you know, I have to ask us, if God has called you, listen carefully, if he has called you into whatever ministry it is, he will equip you. And it might entail some schooling, it might entail that, but he's going to equip you. And if you're obeying his faith by, or his commands by faith, then God is going to go with you and he's going to protect you. And you're going to be fine. And lastly, listen, man, if you're sharing God's word, God is going to make sure that it goes out. He says, man, don't be afraid of their faces. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there to deliver you. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Listen, man, is that cool or what? Isaiah needed the coal from the altar to purify him. Here's what he says to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. From now on, you're going to speak my words. And would to God that everybody who is in a pulpit ministry in the world would speak the word of God and give the word of God out. So listen, that's what he tells Jeremiah. Oh, and then there's one more thing about his ministry. It's not going to be all great. Listen to what he says. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, over nations and kingdoms, not just, man, that's huge, right? Here's what I'm thinking. Dude, I'm from Anathoth. I'm not even from Jerusalem, right? I'm not even from a big place. And you want me to go to all these nations and maybe I don't even speak their language. Maybe I don't even know them. Maybe I should just stay in my priesthood thing. He says, I am going to set you over nations and kingdoms. Listen to what he's going to do. I've set you over them to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Now let's take a break there and look at it. Here's what we need to understand. In order to do the last two things, to build and to plant, the other things have to take place. And listen, you have to have some destruction. You have to pull out some roots. You have to get things out of the way. You have to tear things down in order to build things up. Isn't that what Christianity is all about? We can only grow as much as we allow the Lord to tear the other things out of our life and get rid of them out of our life. And he says, Jeremiah, this is your ministry. And I'm thinking, I'm Jeremiah. I'm going to go, no, thank you. I don't really think I want to do that. I don't want to do that to nations. I might do that to neighbors, but I don't want to do that to the whole world. I don't want this worldwide ministry, right? And I have read the end of the book of Jeremiah. And you know what, man? If you look at his ministry as far as numbers and converts and success, zero. But think about his relationship as we study this. Think about his relationship with the Lord. So the Lord lays all that out. So we've looked at the background. We've looked at the fact that God formed him and knew him and sanctified him and called him. And now the Lord lets him know his argument is bogus, that he doesn't need to do it. And God's saying, man, listen, I am with you. And that's all that matters, Jeremiah. If I'm there, nothing else matters. Now, a little bit more information for him. In verse 11, here's where people say God kind of did a little bit audio-visual work with him and give him a little video of some things so he could better understand. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of the almond tree. And then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. Now, that might be a little bit confusing for us. What you need to understand, the almond tree in Israel, when the almond tree is budding, when it's starting to give forth, that means spring is opening up. That means spring is definitely coming. Like here, I don't know how many of you know that. Here, I use the mesquite tree to know when the frost is over. The mesquites never come out early. They know what they're doing. They're pretty smart here, you know, and they're kind of active. So listen, that's all he's saying. And he's saying it in a sense that this almond tree is like the, and it's interesting, there's a play on words for almond and watchman. And it's like the almond tree is the watchman. When the almond tree is out, then we know. And he says, that's what's going on. I'm ready. Here's what the Lord's saying. I'm ready to speak my word. And I'm ready to let everybody know exactly what's going to happen. And guess who gets to tell them? You, Jeremiah. You get to tell them the bad news, and you get to tell them the good news. How about if I do the good news, and you get someone else to do the bad news, okay, Lord? Maybe you could just, like, write it on the sky or something, you know, right? And it's kind of, I'm ready to do that. And then, listen, so that part sounds okay, right? I'm ready to perform my word. And then verse 13, and then the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a large boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north. Then the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth, and all the inhabitants of the land, for behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all of its walls all around, against all of the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them, talking about the cities of Judah, against them concerning their wickedness, because they have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands. So here's what he's saying. What do you see now? Well, I see a boiling pot. Now this, here's what he's saying. So this enemy is going to come from the north. Now right now for Jeremiah, not right now, but right now for Jeremiah, do you know who the world power is? It's not from the north. It's from the east. It's Assyria. Assyria and Egypt's the second player in the whole thing. And they're trying to, listen, Israel, the northern part, the northern 10 tribes, tried to make some deals with Egypt. Listen, so you have Assyria as the main power, you have Egypt as the secondary, and nobody's ever heard of this entity from the north except God. Now here's what's amazing. God is telling him the power is going to come from the north. If you're thinking and you're looking at it logically, there's nothing from the north to come. Oh, there's this little kingdom called Babylon. And it is going to grow, and it is going to come, and it is going to wipe out Judah. That's what's going to happen. And why is God bringing Babylon against Judah? Because of their idolatry. Remember, we just finished a couple weeks ago Habakkuk, and Habakkuk goes, God, I don't understand why you would use those heathen, you know, funky people, ugly people against us, your beautiful people, and why are you doing that? And God says, because you're not as beautiful as you think you are, right? And I'm using them as an instrument. So he lets Jeremiah know. Now, I got to think at this point, Jeremiah's going, well, that's kind of silly. Because there's no power coming from the north. You know, maybe he picked up the paper. The Seer Vista Herald. He's checking out. There's no power in the north. Maybe he Googled it. It's just, listen, it's not even on the radar right now. Imagine God showing you something in your heart that you see that nobody else can see. Nobody else can visualize, and you're sitting there, and you're going to tell Judah this power from the north is coming, and they're going to say, what are you, crazy? We know that Assyria is strong. They took away Israel. They took away the northern 10 tribes. You know that Egypt's got some power, but there's nothing. There's something from the east and something from the south. There ain't nothing from the north, dude. That's why I think Jeremiah's ministry was so hard. He was seeing so far and so opposite of what everybody else was seeing. They couldn't grasp what he was saying. So listen, and he says they're going to do it. Therefore, I love verse 17. Therefore, prepare yourself. Really? Thank you, Lord. Here's what the Lord's saying. I'm giving you this ministry, right? And he's already told him it's going to be hard. And then he's telling him, I'm going to bring these people from the north. And here's, therefore, prepare yourself. Why do I need to prepare myself? Because there ain't nobody going to listen to you. They're going to think you're a crackpot. They're going to think everything's going on. So you need to get ready. You need to prepare yourself, Jeremiah. And he says, and arise and speak to them all that I command you. Speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. So now here's the challenge, because here's what I think. I think verse 17 is there because verses 14 through 16 freaked him out. I think he looked at them and he went, no, it ain't going to happen. And here's what God's saying. You got to go. Here's what I found. God will be with you if you go. Listen carefully. He will be with you if you go. I'm not saying he's going to totally ignore you. But if you step out in faith, God is never going to just leave you dangling out there. He's going to be with you. And I think they kind of settled things in 6 through 8. And then he let him know some more things. And then Jeremiah, I think, is one of those people that, okay, Lord, now you've shown me way too much. And I retract everything. I'm kind of going back. I'm going to go back and be a priest, okay? I'm going to do the priest thing. You find some other prophet. I was really happy. I was really happy when I got up this morning. I'm thinking all of this stuff is going on. Now you come up with this whole thing that you formed me. I kind of like all that you formed me, that you knew me, you know, that you sanctified me. All of that's kind of cool. But I don't want to do something that's hard. I want an easy ministry. Can I have an easy ministry? Can I have a ministry where people are just going to love on me? Can I have one of those ministries where everybody's going to hug me and tell me I'm great? That's what I want. He's going, no, Jeremiah. It's going to be tough, man. Oh, and by the way, you're going to speak to all the nations. You're not just going to speak. You know, you go through this book, man. He speaks to every nation there is. So you're going to speak to all of them. So that's what's going to... And here's what he says, man. So don't freak out. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Go out and start doing some exercise, right? We need to do some spiritual exercise like we need to do physical exercise. Go out and get ready. You get ready to do that. You give them everything I tell you. Don't hold anything back. You see, today's pulpits, I think way too many people are holding too much back. People tell you you can't talk about abortion. You can't talk about homosexuality. You can't talk about, you know, and they tell you, no, we can't hold back the Word of God. And I love what Spurgeon, this is on a different topic, but Spurgeon says, you know what we need to do is we need to let the Word of God out, like, because it's like a lion. And the Word of God can take care of itself. We don't need to defend it and figure it out. So here's what he's saying. Go do that, and don't be dismayed by their faces. When people scowl at you, like sometimes you guys scowl at me. And when people do that, he goes, man, I don't want you to be dismayed, because if you get dismayed, then I'm going to be dismayed at you before you being dismayed at them, okay? So no dismaying going on, right? Then, verse 18, for behold. Listen, when God says this, listen, for behold, I have made you this day. Well, he's already talked about he's made him, right? This is the second time. For behold, I have made you this day. But listen what he's made him. I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land. Do you notice what God is letting him know? Are you kind of picking up on what God's saying? Your ministry is going to be so hard, that I'm going to make you harder than hard, right? I'm going to make you, and so listen, here's what God says. I made you what? So first thing, a fortified city. I made you an iron pillar. I made you bronze walls. Listen, nobody, all you have to do is trust me. They're not going to get to you because I made you ready for this. And he says, I made you against, listen to what he says. I made you those things against the kings of Judah, against its princes, and against its priests, and against the people of the land. So I've done this for you. You're set. You're ready to go. And then he says, and they will fight against you. Oh, thank you, God. Why would we need to be bronze walls, an iron pillar, and a fortified city unless something was going to come against us? Why would we need the armor of God if there wasn't going to be any battles? Why would we need that weaponry if we were not going to be in a fight? Think about it. Listen, God didn't give us the armor of God to hang on a wall for decorations and make it look nice. He gave us the armor of God. Why? Because we are in a battle. And he made Jeremiah this way. Why? Because Jeremiah is going to have a battle. Not a physical battle, a little bit for him, but more, he's having this spiritual battle. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And there's not going to be people who are nice to him. There's not going to be people who are kind to him. I've read the whole book, man. His ministry, man, he just does not have fun doing ministry at all. So God says, listen, man, I've done all of this because they're going to fight against you. But listen to this. But they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you. Underline that in your Bible. Listen what God says, man. When you go and you follow God, they're not going to prevail against you. Those things are not going to happen. Why? Because God is with us. John Knox, or one of the old reformer guys, and always said, you and God always make a majority. Just have to trust him and walk with him. And here's what I love, man. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be fun. They're going to come against you. I've made you strong, but even greater than that, I am going to go with you. And then here's what he says. Why, says the Lord? To deliver you. I believe, and don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those who thinks you need to go out and try and stop, speeding trains and stuff. I believe we're kind of invincible until we get done what God's got for us to do. And again, I'm not saying that to be arrogant. We go out and act arrogant and do stupid things. Well, if we're invincible, then I'm going to jump in front of a truck and stop it. I'm not talking about that. Listen, God is sending us. He's going to take care of us. I read a story this week about one of the pastors who was a main mover and shaker in Colombia of planting churches and a revival happening in Colombia, and the cartel hated him. And here's the interesting thing. He went for 10 years and the cartel never touched him. Got the churches planted, got things going, and after 10 years they came up and they just gunned him down like that. Why? Because he was done. He's finished. And he himself said, I think I'm invincible till God's done with me. And I think that's true. Again, I'm not saying that we don't go out and challenge the cartels now and say, I'm going to go do this. Here's what I'm saying. We need to know that God is, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how difficult, that he's in that with us. He's not always going to deliver us out of the problem, out of the difficulties, out of the pain, out of the hurt, but he's going to walk through those with us. He promises. What is a great promise in the New Testament? I will never, do you know what never means? Never leave you or forsake you. What is God telling Jeremiah here? I'm not going to leave you, bro. Go for it. Just do it. But here's what breaks my heart. So many of us, I don't believe we experience that kind of deliverance and that kind of faithfulness from God because we never step out. We never get outside of our comfort zone. We never go speak to the nations. Not all of us are called to speak to the nations, but I'm just using that. Jeremiah has an opportunity here now. He can either go do that and he can experience the hand of God in his life in ways that are going to be absolutely phenomenal, because I've read ahead, or he can go back and be a priest and cut up sheep all day. Choice is his, right? And what breaks my heart is so many of us are content to cut up sheep. We're not going to step out. Pat, if I step out, do you know what's going to happen? Well, no, I don't, but here's what I do know. When you step out, and if God is calling you, again, back to that issue, if you know he's calling you, do it. Don't be afraid. And you know what? You will never, ever regret it. So Jeremiah, there we go. That's the beginning of his ministry. So from what I read in chapter 1, he's got a decision to make. Jeremiah, you can go out and you can do ministry, and it is going to be really tough. Because God doesn't like sugarcoat things. He doesn't like sell us something and then pull the bait and switch. Oh, you thought it was going to be good? He tells us straight up what it's going to be, right? It's going to be tough. I love when we do Ezekiel. I love Ezekiel. He tells Ezekiel, I want you to go to these people, but these people are hard-headed, Zeke. And he goes, really? And then God tells him this, but I'm going to make your head harder than their head. Right? And that's what I love. That's what he's telling Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah, go. They're going to be mean to you. They're going to be brutal. They're going to be horrible. But don't worry. I got your back. How great is that, right? Let's stand up and pray. Lord, as we do think about what we've read tonight and just thinking about Jeremiah and Lord, this first chapter and kind of getting introduced to him and ministry and what's going to happen in his ministry, Lord, I pray that, God, we would be people who, Lord, first of all, I pray we would be people who we can just be still before you. And Lord, that we can seek you. And we can go away from that quiet time with you and know our calling. Not just called to be saved, but God, what do you have for us in life? What do you want us to do? What legacy are we going to leave in as far as the Christian church is concerned? God, in what ways are you going to use us? And I pray, Lord, that we would be men and women who refuse to leave until we get an answer. Lord, we're going to stay and we're going to hear from you. And I thank you for those of us who know tonight, God, that you formed us in your womb. The way you made us is just the way you wanted us. And God, that we know that, Lord, you had that intimate knowledge of us way before we were ever born. And God, that you set us apart for something specific, and then you put the ordination, the calling upon our lives. And Lord, that we would walk in that and rejoice in that, and even to the point, Lord, where we would enjoy it even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. And God, for those tonight who don't know you, tonight is the night. I look at this passage, and the warning is to Israel, you need to change. You can't chase after those other gods and chase after those idols, but you need to know the one true living God. And I pray for anyone in here tonight who doesn't have a relationship with you, that tonight would be the night. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.